Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Sarah Schulman's Let the Record Show, A Political History of ACT UP New York. 1987-1993 is a large-scale oral history of the AIDS activist organization ACT UP New York during its most consequential years. Drawing on 188 interviews from the ACT UP Oral History Project, the book reconstructs how a decentralized coalition of activists challenged government inaction, pharmaceutical barriers, public stigma, and institutional indifference during the AIDS crisis. Rather than offering a single author narrative, Schulman builds a layered political history from many voices, which allows the book to capture internal disagreements, tactical debates, and the lived experience of organizing under emergency conditions. Its purpose is both historical and interpretive. It documents what ACT UP did, and it also explains why those methods mattered. The result is not only a record of activism, but a study of how collective action, direct confrontation, and coalition politics reshape public health advocacy and queer political life in the United States. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, ACT UP New York as a decentralized movement built for direct action. One of the book's central arguments is that ACT UP's effectiveness came from its structure. Schulman presents the organization as decentralized, with many committees, affinity groups, and working groups operating in parallel rather than waiting for top-down direction. That format made it possible for activists to respond quickly, experiment tactically, and sustain pressure on multiple fronts at once. The book shows that ACT UP did not succeed because it was orderly in a conventional sense, but because it could mobilize anger into coordinated public disruption. Mass demonstrations, media interventions, and confrontations with institutions became tools for forcing AIDS into public view. Schulman's history therefore treats organization itself as a political technology, a way of converting urgency into visible resistance. This emphasis is important because it challenges simplistic accounts that reduce social movements to charismatic leadership. ACT UP emerges instead as a collective machine for action, one that depended on participation, specialization, and strategic friction among its members. Secondly, an oral history method that restores movement memory from many perspectives. The book's form is as significant as its subject. Schulman uses oral history to assemble a mosaic of testimony rather than a single interpretive voice dominating the narrative. That method lets the book preserve disagreement, contradiction, and variation in how activists remembered events, which is especially valuable for a movement as internally diverse as ACT UP. Oral history also helps correct the tendency of later accounts to flatten the movement into a few familiar heroes or a simplified timeline. By relying on dozens of voices, Schulman can show how strategy was debated in meetings, how people learned political skills through practice, and how ordinary members contributed to extraordinary campaigns. The method is not just archival, it is democratic. It reflects the book's larger belief that political history should not be written only from the perspective of leaders or institutions. Instead, it should include the people whose labor, risk, and emotional commitment made the movement work. That makes the book both a historical document and a corrective to narrower AIDS narratives. Thirdly, reclaiming the roles of women, people of color, and other marginalized activists. A major intervention of Let the Record Show is its insistence that ACT UP's history cannot be understood through a white, gay male frame alone. Schulman repeatedly foregrounds the contributions of women, people of color, lesbians, and other activists whose work has often been minimized in mainstream retellings of AIDS activism. This is not a matter of adding footnotes to an already complete story. It changes the structure of the story itself. By centering figures whose labor was essential to coalition building, care work, media production, and political strategy, the book revises the memory of ACT UP into something more accurate and more inclusive. That revision matters because historical exclusion also shapes present political imagination. If movements are remembered only through a narrow set of identities, then the range of possible organizers in the future is also narrowed. Schulman therefore uses history as a political corrective. She shows that ACT UP was strongest when it was most diverse, and that its achievements depended on the leadership and creativity of people too often left out of official memory. Fourthly, how ACT UP transformed AIDS politics through media pressure and institutional confrontation. The book carefully explains that ACT UP's power came from its ability to force institutional response. Schulman highlights actions aimed at the Food and Drug Administration, the National Institutes of Health, Wall Street, churches, and other centers of authority, showing that the group understood AIDS as a political crisis, not only a medical one. Public spectacle was not treated as theater for its own sake. It was a strategic means of exposing neglect and making indifference costly. ACT UP also influenced how AIDS was discussed, diagnosed, and represented, helping reshape the media and public policy environment around HIV and AIDS. Schulman's account makes clear that direct action was paired with message discipline and political intelligence. Activists did not simply protest. They targeted systems that controlled drugs, information, and legitimacy. This combination of confrontation and analysis is what gave ACT UP lasting influence. The book therefore reads as a study of pressure politics, showing how a grassroots coalition can alter the terms of debate when institutions refuse to act on their own. Lastly, a record of internal conflict, fracture, and the limits of movement sustainability, Shulman does not present ACT UP as a perfect or permanently unified success story. The book also examines conflict, exhaustion, and eventual fracture, which gives the history moral and analytical seriousness. Movements built under crisis often face tensions over race, gender, class, strategy, and recognition, and ACT UP was no exception. By including these struggles, Shulman avoids nostalgia and shows that collective power is always conditional, requiring constant negotiation. The book suggests that internal debate was not merely a distraction from activism. It was part of the movement's reality and, at times, part of its strength. At the same time, the eventual fragmentation of ACT UP reveals the difficulty of sustaining radical energy over time, especially under the pressures of epidemic loss and political change. This makes the book useful not only as a history of achievement, but also as a study in movement durability. It invites readers to think about what helps activist coalitions survive, what causes them to splinter, and what lessons can be carried forward without romanticizing the past. In conclusion, Let the Record Show will be most valuable for readers interested in AIDS history, LGBTQ+ studies, social movements, oral history, and public health politics. It is especially useful for activists, scholars, and general readers who want to understand how grassroots organizing can reshape institutions when official systems fail. The book offers practical insight into coalition building, direct action, media strategy, and the political importance of preserving movement memory. Intellectually, it stands out because it does more than narrate ACT UP's victories. It reconstructs the organization from within, using many voices to show how strategy, identity, disagreement, and urgency interacted in real time. Compared with more conventional histories of AIDS activism, Shulman's book is broader, more pluralistic, and more attentive to under-recognized participants, especially women and people of color. It also resists the simplification of ACT UP into either heroic legend or tragic memory. Instead, it presents the organization as a complex political formation whose achievements, contradictions, and lessons remain relevant. That combination of archival depth, interpretive force, and movement relevance makes the book distinctive in its field. If you would like to support Sarah Shulman, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.